Thank God for another Lord's Day that we can meet in this manner. I returned yesterday with a group of early returnees from Batam. It was a blessed meeting, and those who maybe thought to go but did not have the opportunity, we have yet another one coming in 2008. So think about it. And when the time comes, probably around December next year, don't miss it. It's so good that we meet because the Lord wants us to meet, because there is still so much undone, because the gospel is so good, and there are so many people still in darkness waiting. You say, waiting? Waiting for what? I say, waiting for whom? Waiting for you. Waiting for me, waiting for us to go forth. For this is the last commandment of our Lord before He rose to heaven. Go ye into all the world. It's to you, dear friends. Did you hear that? Don't just listen like this. In, out, forget. Oh, dear friends, it's so important when God's word is preached that you do not neglect. Even as our reading will tell us, our reading today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as we conclude this wonderful small epistle written to the Thessalonica Christians. It's for you, do you know? Yes? What does it say here? Despise not prophesyings. Don't neglect the hearing of the preaching of God's word. This is what it means by prophesying. Prophesy, meaning to tell forth. Not just foretell, but also forthtell. So this morning's reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And to conclude our meditation on this wonderful chapter, we shall read from verse 16 to 25. Are you ready? Ready means in your heart you are calling on God the Spirit, say, help me to understand and help my mind not to stray. You know, sometimes you listen to the word being preached but your heart is on the golf course or somewhere else. That is very possible. So I say, be ready. Now listen. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Does it mean you're never sad and never worried? Of course not. There are moments when you must be sad. When someone dear in the house, your loved one, is sick or has an accident or something alarming has happened. You know, just laugh and be rejoicing at that time. You don't. So immediately our first thought is, Lord, help. And we are in distress. But then you don't forget, in the midst of distress, we have a wonderful hope that causes us to rejoice. For example, if you are stricken with an illness, suddenly you think, maybe I've got a stroke, maybe I'm going to die. You are alarmed, natural. In the flesh, we all are alarmed, you all are saddened with things and happenings like that. But immediately your thought goes, I am a child of God. There is a great everlasting hope, that blessed hope that I will see my Savior if I should leave this earth. You rejoice. That's the meaning of this. Rejoice evermore. Not that you never get sad, never get unhappy. Of course, we do. But bottom line, always available is our Lord Jesus behind us, supporting us, helping us, giving us the wonderful hope. Nothing else can give you. Therein you rejoice. 17. Pray without ceasing. When you drive, you pray. Of course, I want to drive safely, but sometimes you know you drive safely, but somebody runs into your car. It happened to me just 4 weeks ago. I was going straight, but some young fellow, you turn into me. And I said, wow, what happened? All right, what do you do? Pray. You know why? When he got out and I got out, nobody was hurt. Pray. Thank God. Nobody was hurt. It could have been a fractured arm or a broken nose or something. But Pray without ceasing. In everything, pray. The first reaction to any happening is pray. Why? Casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. And the first one you go to is not child, run to mother, father, which is the first reaction. So, we too. We run to our Heavenly Father, praying without ceasing in everything, morning, noon and night. But in addition to this, pray without ceasing. Please, I urge you to have a special fixed time of meeting with God in prayer. You must have that. Yes. Don't always pray the driving time prayer, you know. Okay, in my heart I'm praying. I don't close my eyes. So you just say, I'm going to sleep now. God, please. Good night. Go to bed. Go on your knees. Pray with earnest humility. Humble yourself. Earnestly seeking the Lord. There must be a special time of prayer. Do you? 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Always be thankful. A thankful Christian makes a happy Christian. Can you remember that? Where there is one who is not thankful, always grumpy, always feeling, I'm a born loser. Every time I lose, every time I miss the good things, then the whole day you are grumpy. Don't. Always remember the goodness. The fellow who says, I'm so sad, I don't have shoes. Until he saw somebody with no feet and legs gone. Then he said, hey, I'm not too badly off. So always remember that God is good to you. The Lord is so good to you. Remember His goodness and all that He's done for you. And give thanks. Quench not the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in every believer. Do you know that? If you are a believer, you came to the Lord, received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that moment the Holy Spirit is in you and He dwells in you and He's your Lord, He's your Master. And when you commit sin, the Holy Spirit in you, if you have a conscience, the Holy Spirit will tell you, you have done wrong immediately. You know that, but you must keep close to Him. And when the Holy Spirit prompts you, don't quench Him. That means, don't say, hey, don't disturb. Never mind. God doesn't know. Nobody knows. I continue to do the wrong thing. This is the meaning of quench not the Spirit. The Spirit is like a flame. And you pour cold water on the flame, it goes off. So that Spirit, after a while, will not tell you you're wrong. Because every time the Spirit tells you you're wrong, you quench it. Then after a while, your sin becomes habitual and you don't even know you're sinning. Do not. Every child of God, pray that the Holy Spirit will be alive and you will be sensitive and respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Johnson did this. He had a little bell kept in his white cheongsam. And whenever he preached this, he used a little bell to ring. It goes like this. And he says, now don't stop that bell ringing in you. Don't stop it. That is Holy Spirit telling you, you are sinning. You are a child of God. You are, got no business to go to this place. You got no business to tune into this part of the television. You got no business to play the internet in this way, going into different evil channels. You know it. The Holy Spirit tells you, don't quench it. Thank God when you feel the unease. Go on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me. This is the meaning of quench not the Spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesyings. As I said just now, prophesying has two meanings. One is foretelling. That one has passed from us. We do not foretell anything. You can't even know what's happening tomorrow or even this afternoon to yourself. So we don't prophesy. But there is another meaning, another side to this word is forth-telling, to tell forth, to preach the word of God. That is a meaning of prophesying. Do not despise. Don't brush it off when the preacher preaches something that hurts you. No, not me. Forget it. Okay, you brush it off. Do not do that. Despise not the preaching of God's word is what it means. So I say, when you come to the house of God, come with a ready, receptive heart and mind. How can you have it? Pray without ceasing. When you come to the house of God, what do you come for? Fellowship? Yes. To see one another is good. To report to the Lord? Yes. We come here to say, Lord, I am your child. I thank you for health to another week. And every time we can meet in health and peace in God's house is an occasion for great thanks, for deep thanks, for sincere thanks, because you never know when that opportunity will be taken away from you. Whether it is for personal accident or sickness or something, or if war should come. How do you know? When men shall say, peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. You never know when war may break out. You never know. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Meaning to say, search the scriptures. Know God's will. If God's will teaches, God's word teaches you certain thing, you cannot say, well, I like to do this, I like to go to that place, simply because it pleases me. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Check with the scripture. Cross-check. Yes, what does God's word say about this? What does God's word say about going to cinema? Yes. Well, I know there are certain that you have to go. Maybe as a school. Maybe as an educational medium. You got to go. But those who go to satisfy and to pander to their flesh, I say, watch out. Watch out. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Next verse. Abstain from all appearance of evil. This appearance of evil can be in your thinking, in your speaking, in your dressing, in your appearance, in your associations. Where you go, appear. Don't appear in evil. Especially the way we dress up and make up. Is there a difference? I have stressed this, and we must keep on stressing that Christian attire must have a Christian character. And those getting married, again and again we stress, have proper covering. No, they fashion, can't be helped. All the dressmakers, they only make this kind, topless, that kind of, only brides in Singapore wear like that. I said, not at all. We had one come from London, I put it in the weekly. I was so happy. She came from London, one of our members, and fully covered. What's the difference? There is a testimony, there's a witness. I am a child of God. I'm different. Don't say, I can't be helped. All the dressmakers make like that. So can't be helped. I say, can be helped. It's only you have no willpower. You don't think for yourself. Say, I am a child of God. You forget. You say, I want to be like the rest. So abstain from all appearance of evil. How about normal everyday dress? How about men trying to dress in a semi-unisex fashion? Terrible things that are happening. And girls getting shorter and shorter skirts. This has gone up and down like a pendulum of clock. Up, down, up, down. But on the whole, it is up. It's no good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Why? It's not that I'm old-fashioned. I'm not old-fashioned. I'm a very new-fashioned. But because God's word says so, there must be a holiness in every child of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in me. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, if I am a child of God, let me go be a good advertisement for my master. True? Yeah. People see, people make comment, people take note. People know what you are up to. Now, verse 23 in conclusion. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Sanctify meaning what? make you out to be a child of God, separated and holy for His use. We all are temples of the Holy Spirit. We all are instruments of righteousness, all of us. You cannot be otherwise if you are a child of God. You have to be. Because Jesus died for you. He, your Passover is sacrificed for you. You know what Jesus went through for you? Tell me, you know, tell me. Go with Him to the Garden of Gethsemane and read through what He did. How He agonized. And what did He say? Lord, the Father in heaven, please. I'm in the flesh. I'm going through this kind of terrible, terrible death. If possible, take it away from me. Jesus was praying in the flesh. He was clothed with human flesh. So He says, if possible, Father, take it away, but Your will. So you say, Your will. Let's all pray for God's will. God's will paramount. God's will first. God's will above Your will. You want to do certain things Your way, but God has a better way, better will. Submit to His will. Verse 23, and the very God of peace. Oh, wonderful, dear friends. Do you know the God of peace? You follow Him, there is peace. Even in the midst of sorrow, there is peace. Because that peace comes from God. And you follow Him, will receive that wonderful peace. And it will sanctify you wholly. Meaning to say, in all your thinking, appearance, speech, actions, going here and there, associations, you'll be different. You'll be kept from sin, sanctified, separated, separated for the Lord. You must be separated. That's why you come to this table. Why? Because you're different from those who are outside. Different from those who do not believe in Jesus, different from those who have never received Jesus Christ in salvation. You came to this table, you are different. Now, live different. Appear different. Think different. Sanctified. Sanctified means holy. Separated for God's use. God wants to use you, but you cannot be used unless you are sanctified. You are separated. You are different from the world. Not because you want to be different, but because God says you'll be different. Because you are My child. I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, body, that's all that we are, all that we have. Look again. Spirit, soul, body, the unseen part of you and me, the spirit and the soul. How is the spirit doing? Do you commune with God every day? Do you walk with Him? Do you live in Him? And do you receive His commandments and His instructions? And do you obey? All that goes in the spirit and the soul. And then when you have received God, submitted to Him, and obeyed Him already in the spirit and the soul, your body will follow according to what your spirit dictates to you. Be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God preserve you. Because when Jesus Christ comes, may you be found in a sanctified state. It's not good if the Lord should come and find you in the place of ill repute. Understand? Don't say, well, I'm far away from home. Who knows? God knows. So, read this last one. May God preserve you whole, your whole spirit, soul, and body, blameless until His coming. This is what we all are looking for, living for, waiting for. What is it? The Lord coming. The Lord is coming. As the servant who is employed to look after the house, and the master says, okay, look after my house. I will come back when my business is over, but I don't tell you the date. I don't know myself. So I go, you're the master, and you finish your business, you come back. What do you expect to see the servant doing? Yes, remember that. The Lord has gone to prepare the place for us. When His work is done, He comes. May He find you blameless. Verse 23. May God preserve you whole, spirit, soul, and body, blameless, so that when the Lord comes, He's so glad to see you, still a Christian, still walking in His ways, still serving Him fervently, even though it is 30, 40, 50 years, what does it matter? Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So, serve Him, walk with Him, please Him. Don't please yourself, don't please the world, don't adopt the fashion of the world because the world dictates it, and then you bend to the dictates of the world. Don't do that. So, until the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, verse 24 and 25, we conclude this. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. I want to leave you this closing thought. The best thing you can ever do to another person is pray for that person. Can you remember? Do you include your friends in your prayer? Church leaders? I'm so happy. Many members say, Pastor, I pray for you. I say, thank you very much. That's why I'm so happy, because so many people pray for me. That's how I keep strong. I can go for missions. Pray one for another. It is the commandment of God. And it attaches blessing, you know. This is God's will for you and me. Just simply remember in your mind, I have so many people I can pray for. And when I pray for, the Father is happy. He takes note and He answers those prayers. Because of you, someone is blessed. Someone who is in distress is encouraged. Someone who is sick gets well. And when you meet together, there is joy. And together you can thank the Lord and praise the Lord because you prayed for that person. So this is a closing thought for this morning. Now, I have one or two things. As we were in Batam, by the way, I want to report to you, our missions conference in Batam. Some of you do not know what it's all about. 1996, 11 years ago, I was in London speaking to the Bible camp of our new church in London. And in the Bible camp, there was a young man. At the end of the meeting, during which I spoke about biblical separation, he came up to me and he says, Dr. Toh, I've never heard these things before. I'm a pastor. I come from Brunei. I've been a pastor for several years and I've been a Christian all my life. But nobody ever told me that there's such a thing as biblical separation. I say, is that so? So what do you want me to do? He says, come to Brunei. So that's 1996. 1997, I think it was about 1998. You know that year, there was a great haze and the PS whatever count went up to 600-700 in Brunei. So anyway, I went. The next year, when it was better, when I could breathe, I went. And as a result, out of that contact in Brunei with Peter Wong, he started a church by leading a group out of his church. And that is biblical separation. In that church which is charismatic, ecumenical, I hope these terms are familiar to all of you now. Charismatic meaning they major on the so-called gifts of the Holy Spirit and they veer off in a tangent and they do not anymore hold to the Bible definition of the work of the Holy Spirit, but they talk of laughing, speaking in tongues, having dreams, etc. Okay, that is charismatic. So, Peter Wong, being involved in the charismatic and ecumenical church, ecumenical meaning all joining together with a one world church system. So, he began a group. Out of that, it spread to Miri. I'll show you the map very quickly so that you all understand what I'm talking about.
Brunei is at the very top. Yes, that's Brunei there. That's where we began in year 2000. 2000. Then the next year we went to Miri. Miri is oil town in as much as Brunei is a gas town. They sit on natural gas. The biggest concentration of natural gas in the whole world is in Brunei. That's why the Sultan is so rich. They just suck up gas and sell and they make money. Okay, Miri is a Shell town. Almost everybody there works for Shell. And the oil there brings in a lot of dollars. But the most important thing we went there is to start a mission. And so today there is a mission in Miri called the Calvary Bible Presbyterian Church of Miri. And you've seen the pastor, the preacher that here is called Brother Harrison. I say, how come? You are Dayak, how come you be called Harrison? See? Don't know. The missionary just called me Harrison and I become Harrison. And his wife is Charlene. You remember the two of them, they've spoken here in the church. Now all these people came to these missions. It's good for you to know what we do, dear friends, so that you be in a position to pray for us. When you pray, things will happen. So Miri spread to Cebu. If you are Fuchao, chances are you have people in Cebu who are your relatives. Everybody in Cebu is Fuchao. And all of them, almost all of them are Methodists. So out of there has come a separated group called Bible Presbyterian Church of Cebu under Preacher Ling. So this went on from 2000 to 2001 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6. By 5 we went to Pontianak. Now you know Pontianak is the capital of Kalimantan. And Kalimantan is the rest of Borneo. Sarawak is part of Malaysia. It's called East Malaysia. Now we've gone down to Pontianak is here. The rest of Borneo, this big chunk, is Kalimantan or Indonesian Borneo. Please pray for these missions. This time we also had participation from Medan. God raised a family called the Sirigar family who came to Singapore some 40 years ago by the father. And the father was converted and came to take the biblical separatist stand, and he brought his three sons, Doha, Haposan, Agus. All three of them started FEBC. This was about 30 years ago, and they've gone back and started churches. Now the two elder brothers came to our conference, Doha and Haposan. So there are possibilities of our going into Medan to help them with their church activities, church expansion, church growth and church building and so on. So I show you this so that you will be able to pray for what we are doing in what the Lord is doing for us in Borneo. Now, while we were in Borneo, my interpreter, I asked him to read from Isaiah 7:14. You know Isaiah 7:14? Behold, a virgin shall be with child. And he read from his Alkitab. You know his Alkitab? That's the Indonesian Bible. And the cross translation to English is, behold, young woman will be with child. Talking of Jesus coming as a baby. I say, where do you get that version from? It is the cross reference, Indonesian and English. And it says, behold, a young woman with child. This is a corrupted, poisonous Bible which at once demolishes the doctrine that our Jesus, the Lord Jesus, came by the virgin birth. So, I show you this. Just to touch on our doctrine of Bible preservation. Very simple. How do we get God's word? How did my friend get Indonesian Bible corrupted into young woman. How did he get it? Because he got it from a text that was not preserved. Text that was not preserved, and he got a wrong translation. There is now a flood of poisonous, corrupted Bibles in the market. By the way, did you receive a little booklet today on Bible versions? All right, I'll refer to it in a minute. How did we get our Bible? How did God's Word come? Firstly, God revealed to us by revelation. Secondly, by inspiration. Firstly, God speaks by revelation to people like Moses, like Isaiah, like Jeremiah, the prophets, and the apostles. God spoke. They wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Those people, by the working of the Holy Spirit in them, inspired them, breathing through them, they wrote. What they wrote has perished because those are the autographs. We don't have any more original copies. What do we have? Copies. And copies we have by the thousands. How are we sure that the copies we have are correct? Number three, by preservation. Who did all these three? God. Divine. God revealed. God inspired the writers. God preserved the text, the copies that we have today, translations of those texts that we can say, as you take up King James Bible, this is the Word of God. And I have no time, you'll be here till lunchtime, but I don't want to deprive you of lunch. You all are hungry. There is only one English Bible, and I'll deal with that another day. Only one English Bible that is fully preserved, fully inerrant, fully infallible. Only one, the King James Bible. That's why we hold on to the King James Bible. Okay? And that preservation is plenary. What do you mean by plenary? Complete and perfect. The text that the King James Bible was translated from is preserved by God through centuries of time. If not preserved, how can you have good text, authentic and genuine and inerrant and infallible? So that's that. I'll take you through the booklet in 1 minute. I know the time is late, and I do not want to. Today is a very special day. I seek your indulgence. All you have this little booklet? Do you all have it? Yes, sir. If not, collect yours. Now, this is a synopsis, an excerpt from a book that I wrote in 1998. And in case you have any doubts after this, you ought not to have any doubts that the four new modern English translations are all corrupted and poisonous. And the four copies, four versions I've given you are in the front. Good News Bible, also called Today's English Version. NIV, the most popular, which is owned today by Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch, he's a knight of the Roman Catholic Church, knighted by the Pope. And he owns this version, and this version is bringing immense number of dollars. As 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3 tells us, it has become merchandise, the Word of God. So they all have a copyright NIV. Next one is RSV. This is where it says, young woman will be with child. And New King James. New King James is a satanic Bible. Why do I say so? You can see the logo. Yeah. The King James Bible has the, not the whole logo, but the triangle star in the center is imprinted in the New King James Bible. Take this home and read it. And know that
these four representative New English Bibles are corrupted and poisonous. That's why we do not condone the use of these Bibles. I think that's enough for today, and we will talk about that on another special occasion. God help us, and God bless you as you read this booklet. Take it home and please spend half an hour and look through it, and then you will be enlightened and blessed.